Blog Talk Radio.
Solutions.
out of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and indeed out of the Word of God, that we may apply in our everyday lives so that we can solve the problems and not just continue to live in them and talk about them. Tonight's topic is, very plainly and simply, separate or die, the only solution. And as if you saw the postings or the promotion for the show, yes, we're going to deal with, briefly, I might add, because we're not making mockery of it, but we're going to deal with briefly the tragedy of the assassination, because that's what it was, an assassination of Trayvon Martin, and the failure, once again, of this criminal justice system to hold the perpetrator, George Zimmerman, accountable for his actions. However, we have to get into a deeper understanding of why these things continue to take place. But before we go any further into this, I would like for my distinguished panel not to introduce themselves because they need no introduction, but to present themselves. And I'm going to start with our beloved sister, Victoria Miller. So if you would, present yourself to the listening audience, sister.
Well, hello. My name is Victoria Miller. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. I also would like, again, someone who needs no introduction, our beloved Vanessa Chosen Marie. Please, step forward, MGP, and introduce yourself.
My name is Vanessa Chosen Marie. I am extremely blessed and excited to be on this call this evening because I think that this is a subject that's very near and dear to a lot of our hearts, getting to the root of some of the issues that we're constantly being barraged with and dealing with. And a lot of times we're looking for an outlet where our voice can be heard. So I'm very thankful to Brother Kareem for even reaching out to me for this moment to be able to speak, because there's only so much that we can do when we're speaking amongst ourselves, and this just creates a broader platform. So I thank you, and I'm ready.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. That's right. And again, needing no introduction, my beloved brother, Brother Eddie X, front and center FOI.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, family. Yes, and peace be unto you. My name is Brother Eddie X out of Augusta, Georgia, serving as student prison reform minister for the Nation of Islam.
And as a soldier and as a brother and as a friend, I am honored by Brother Kareem for inviting me to come out and spend some time with our family. And, that's it. I love y'all. Let's get to work.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's the one. Let's get to work. And anybody that knows me knows that that's how I am. I'm about diving right into this, getting right into this subject. And please, anybody that's listening, please invite everybody you know. Hit them up on your Facebook, on your Twitter, because this is something we need to once and for all present to the people. That's one of the things the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. He stated that the people have to be informed of this so that they can make an intelligent decision. And then once they decide, if they decide they want to stay, if they want to be a part of it, then so be it. But at least it has to be presented to them. And just so that we can lay a foundation and a base for our discussion tonight, we're going to start in the scripture. And the first place we're going is the Holy Quran Sharif, it is called. It's the Maulana Muhammad Ali translation. And it's Surah or Chapter 3, Ayat, or verse 179, and it reads, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. We seek refuge in Allah against the accursed shaitan or devil, And in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the ayat reads, Allah will not leave the believers in the condition in which you are until he separates the evil from the good. Nor is Allah going to make you acquainted with the unseen, but Allah chooses of his messengers whom he pleases. So believe in Allah and his messengers, and if you believe and keep your duty, you will have a great reward. The next section we're going to read is from Surah, or chapter 30, and it's ayat, or verses 11 through 16, and it reads, Allah originates the creation, then reproduces it. Then to him you will be returned. And the day when the hour comes, the guilty will despair. And they will have no intercessors from among their associate gods, and they will deny their associate gods. And the day when the hour comes, that day they will be separated one from another, one from the other, pardon me. Then as to those who believed and did good, they will be made happy in a garden. And as for those who disbelieved and rejected our messages and the meaning of the hereafter, they will be brought to chastisement. And finally, from the Holy Quran, in Surah or chapter 7, verses or ayats 11 through 17, bear with me. Pages want to stick together. It reads, and we indeed created you, then we fashioned you, then we said to the angels, make submission to Adam. So they submitted except to Iblis. He was not of those who submitted. He said, what hinders thee that thou didst not submit when I commanded thee? He said, I am better than he. Thou hast created me a fire, while him thou didst create of dust. He said, then get forth from this state, for it is not for thee to behave proudly therein. Go forth. Therefore, surely thou art of the abject ones. He said, respite me till the day when they are raised. He said, thou art surely of the respited ones. He said, as thou hast adjudged me to be erring, I will certainly lie in wait for them in thy straight path. Then I shall certainly come upon them from before them and from behind them, and from their right and from their left, and thou wilt not find most of them thankful. All right, let's get down to it. Now, I'm going to start by asking this first question of you, Sister Victoria. And that question is this. Why do black people refuse to recognize their open enemy?
Okay. I think that it's easier. Well, ignorance is bliss, you know, and I think it's easier for them to say, oh, it no longer exists. Racism no longer exists, for them to keep on going, you know, to justify. I mean, really, that's a good question. I don't know. Why do they, you know, hide as if it's not going on? I mean, I think, I guess it's just something that just, you know, Brother Kareem, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, and that's fine. You're being honest. You're being honest. Okay, and that's what it's about. And see, what you have just done shows the greatest amount of intelligence and humility, because you just said you don't know. And see, but the majority of our people won't even accept the fact that they don't know why they do what they do or why they don't do what they should do. So don't feel ashamed of that.
Mm-hmm.
Duty. That's intelligence.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
All praise be to Allah. So now I'm going to go to the mighty, mighty chosen. Mighty, mighty chosen one, and ask that same question. Why do black people refuse to recognize their open enemy?
Brother Kareem, I hear an echo. Is it?
Yes, so do I. Yes, so do I. Okay, are you on the speaker? Are you on the speaker?
No, I'm not.
Okay, then let me see if I can. Okay, is that better?
I think it just stopped. Yes,
okay.
Much better.
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay.
and I'm glad to hear my sister answer the way that she did, because I wanted to say thank you in the sense that, you know, you brought a lot of people together who have not always followed the same teachings, and a lot of us are learning. And in my plight, to understand us better, to help us to overcome, I don't even want to say I ran into, because it's something I believe that Allah placed in me, but I did not see it come to fruition until several months ago, the things that are within me. And I've always been one who's looked at us and said, what is wrong with this picture? We should be doing so much better. Why can't we see? So that's almost a question that I've been trying to answer for a time. And I think the way that my sister started out, it's so much easier for us to sit back and say that it's not happening, but it's also easy for us to say it's not happening, because then we can be content and not have to do anything with that knowledge of knowing, you know what, there is something that truly exists here. There is some disparity. And when you know that to be truthful, it makes it harder for you to just sit back and deal with that. Now, my background, as well as hers, is in psychology. So when I look at people, I'm looking at the way that we think, the way that we act, what makes us do the things that we do. And a lot of it stems from not knowing who we are, not having that self-identity. And we go through that phase of an identity crisis, and when we don't really get a sense of who we are, it's hard to at some point develop into what we should be. And we're not really dealing with our issues that have been instilled in us over years, starting from slavery. And we can't forget that, you know, like the president addressed the other night, he said, this is a history that will not go away. And because it will not go away, we have to acknowledge it. We don't have to stay there, but we need to acknowledge it and do something with it. And when you look at that history that was there, you can't sit today and say we are so much better than we were then. We may be better, but there's still a lot of oppression. There's still a lot of injustice. There's a lot of discrimination. Racism is alive, and it's thriving in America. So to sit back and not deal with that goes with that old cliche, ignorance is bliss. And that to me says that if I am sitting in the position of ignorance, I can be happy, because I can pretend like all of this stuff is not happening around me and I don't have to do a single thing with it. I can just walk through life. To me, there's no way you can be content with that and not realize that you're sitting in the midst of disparity. You're sitting in the midst of trouble, because we deal with a lot of things, and we call it survival. We go into survival mode, and we're just so used to surviving. But at some point, we have to want to do more than just survive. And I think that contentment is what makes a lot of us not want to deal with it. And I think also the pain. Because in having to address it, you have to deal with the pain that comes along with it. It's painful issues, and a lot of us don't want to deal with that.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Thank you very, very much also for your response. Very concise. It's on point. I mean, this is what we are here for, is to establish what the problem is, why we have the problem. And now, Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me, black man. Tell me, why is it that black people just refuse? I mean, with everything that is taking place, let's not even deal with Trayvon Martin first. Let's deal with the fact that our ancestors first were kidnapped. All right. They absconded with us from our own native land. All right. Brought us over here. I know the figures vary, but the figures that I have from my research show that anywhere between 205 to 250 million of us died in the Middle Passage, okay, to bring us over here, bring us into slavery. Then, after we are so-called supposed to be free, we were still called Negroes, and they had whites-only drinking fountains, and we couldn't eat where they ate, and couldn't even use the bathroom where they were. After all of that, now we up to 2013. After all the marching and the sitting in the 60s, and we in the year 2013 now, and a Caucasian, okay, can literally, and like I say, I'm not going to say murder, I'll say he assassinated this young man. He can assassinate a young black man who was minding his own business after he had been instructed by two duly appointed, one was not necessarily an officer, but one was an employee who had the authority to tell him, don't follow the young man. Then a police officer told him, don't follow. But then he turned around, assassinates this young man, and then a jury of his peers said he's not guilty. I mean, so after all of this, why do black people refuse to recognize their open enemy?
Well, first, as we say, in the name of Allah, the Blessed and the Merciful, if anyone hears any high-pitched yelling, I have a 1.5-year-old running around the house discovering her vocal cords, so I apologize in advance for that.
It's all right.
But,
that's life, bro. That's some life going on.
Yes, sir. But the first thing, is that I have to agree with both of our sisters, Chosen and Sister Miller. One, we don't know, because it is unmathematical for us to think that way. And two, it is lack of the knowledge itself. You know, if we study what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is teaching us right now in the current editions of The Time of What Must Be Done, Why Did God Make Devil? And he's teaching us how did he make devil and the biological process by which we made a man whose nature is devil. Without that knowledge, we are stuck not knowing self and not knowing him and not knowing nature. If everything in nature knows its natural enemy, one, because it has a self-identity, and it has a knowledge of who his enemy is based on their identity. The Gnu gazelle and the pack and the herd of gazelle is in confusion when it's time to run from the leopard, the cheetah, or the lion, or the hyena, or whatever that predator is, because they have a collective understanding, if you will, of their identity and idea and purpose. We don't have that. You know, we talk about the history of slavery and what they did in the transatlantic slave trade and Willie Lynch and all of these things. But the very point, bottom line, is that's not a collective knowledge. Yeah, we have an idea that we were slaves, but it is not a knowledge. It is not a collective understanding. So we as a people are not living and moving and functioning off of that, because it is not what the slave master has taught us, because we are all victims of this institution they call education, which is really more so social conditioning. And so when we talk about our enemy, well, they say, who is our enemy? We classify those who we are saying are our enemy, which is very basically those of the Caucasian persuasion who are acting off of the reality of white, the institutional reality of white supremacy and racism, and they are acting on us, and we all, as Barack Obama was mentioning, have the story of the white people flushing their purses and locking their doors and being afraid and lynching and all of these things. They're acting off of that. But we don't have an understanding of why. We think that we're all the same because we don't have an understanding of the reality of how we are created and how they were made. So because we don't understand that, we accidentally and mistakenly group us all in the same thing. And if we are grouped in the same thing, then their identity is our identity. And there's no way that we would just go and do something that a Zimmerman did or what was done to Sean Bell or Amadou Diallo or Troy Davis or any of our people. We wouldn't do something like that. So why should they? Because we're all the same. So we continue to miss the obvious that a people in whom was made an idea and a nature have created a world and systems upon with an alien ideology, an alien philosophy, an alien nature. So God told Abraham, he said that your seed will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. They will serve a strange people and be afflicted by that strange people for 400 years. Look at that word, strange. In a strange land. How could America be strange to us when we were the first to find all 196,940,000 square miles of territory of the planet Earth? And how can these people be strange if we are familiar with the whole planet? Because something new came. Something new was made in the image and likeness of us, but not exactly us. And given power and dominion to replenish. Re is the prefix, which means to do over. Because we were already here, but they replenished it with a new idea, strange teaching, and made this a strange land under a strange thinking and a strange government, but we don't have that understanding. So when the dominant power acts on us, we don't understand it. And because we don't have the reality of God and we swear that we're all the same because we have been taught by them a strange religion. Not Jesus, but the institution that they have called Christianity is a strange teaching. The teaching of a mystery God and a spook and a spirit which did not come into existence until the Hellenistic or European Greek philosophers created that ideology. But that did not exist amongst black Christians in Egypt and Africa. So a strange teaching. A strange teaching came up from Darwin and the great geneticists of their time who taught that black people were inferior and were bred and biologically inclined to being slaves and servants of the light-skinned people of the world. It was a strange teaching, a strange people, a strange mind that created the program of eugenics that black people should be exterminated by any and every means of either of every institution. This is a strange people, but because we don't have an understanding of who our enemy is and the nature, because we don't have the knowledge of the time of what he's done and of that subject, why did God make devil, who is devil, and how was he made, because we don't understand that, because we're still locked in that educational paradigm created by a people that was meant to rule the whole earth for 6,000 years, and they have done that. So even though their effects are in our face, because we don't have the knowledge, we can't perceive that. This little girl that's running around me now runs into pain all the time. She messes with this and messes with that and doesn't understand why, so she cries because she doesn't have a thorough understanding of her environment, so she cannot have a proper perception and make right decisions moving in her environment, so she has to be taught. The same with us. God came to give us a teaching that would give us the right knowledge and perception of our environment so we can make the right decision and understand what happens and how to respond to what happens. I was at a Trayvon Martin, I'm going to wrap this up very quickly. I was at a Trayvon Martin rally this Saturday, speaking to our people and listening to what was being said. And everything that we said was the same rotating speech that we have been having since before civil rights, during rather, civil rights. Get out and vote. Learn about your politics. Give your children vision. Teach them they can be all they want to be. Everybody has equality, yada, yada, yada. The same pill has been resuscitated. But when I come up and present the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that bring reality, a plan and a program that incorporates the truth and understanding of the two natures and the two nations that the Kerner Commission discovered in the 1960s, that are two Americas, one black, one white, separate and unequal. When I present that teaching, that reality that the people respond to and understand, because now that they see a clarity, because God came and gave them a teaching that gives sight to the blind, then that is not reported in the news media. That is not reported in the final videotape. That's cut out because we must be blinded by the knowledge of Satan in order for Satan to continue to do his work. So both sisters are absolutely right that we don't know. Why? Because we don't know. And we don't know why because we don't have the knowledge of self, and the knowledge of self is automatically the knowledge of our enemy. Because once you know yourself, then you can see the conditions that are not conducive of self, and when you know who has established those conditions and those institutions, then you automatically know that that is your enemy. We did not create the institution of prisons and the educational institutions and these religious institutions. We did not make them. But we know who did, and if those institutions are what have created the conditions that we live in to this day that we know are not those of a godly nature, then we can absolutely say by empirical evidence that those perpetrators of those institutions in that history, they are our enemy. And that enemy has been the Caucasian people coming up out of Europe, and if we study history, then we see that the whole earth has been a victim of that history. But remember the words of Paul that we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. So we are not warned with the fact that they have white flesh. And we are warned because the dominant of this culture has created this satanic system. Prophet Muhammad was an example to them that if they would accept the right law, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the teaching of the Holy Quran is that which would restore them, then they can be the brothers of the righteous in the faith. But until we see that reality and get that knowledge, then we will still remain fighting the same old battles, which will eventually end in our destruction.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, my brother. And I know earlier, pardon me, you know, I read some, and like again, our topic this evening is separate or die, the only solution. And individuals may wonder why that is our topic. Well, I'll say this. It's our topic because it seems to me that in the period of time, the little over 100 years that we are supposed to have been free or freed by the Emancipation Proclamation, in that period of time, we've prayed, we've marched, we've sung,
mm-hmm.
we've voted and voted and voted, and conditions have not changed. We've constantly
mm-hmm.
been pacified like a baby. I remember when I was around, you know, coming up as a Muslim, in our homes and around the people that I was going around as a young child, baby didn't get no pacifier. If the baby wasn't on the mother's breast, the baby did get a bottle in the interim, but they were never given a pacifier because a pacifier is fake. It's phony. It offers you nothing. I mean, you're going through all the motions of pulling. The baby's going through all the motions of pulling for the nutrition, for the sustenance, and the baby gets nothing. So in that vein, you know, I've read from the Holy Quran at the top of the show. And for those who are on the show who may or may not be Muslim or a Christian or have a different belief or faith, you say, well, that's the Quran. I don't read the Quran. I don't know nothing about the Quran. Let's go to the Bible. We'll start in the book of Isaiah. It's chapter 26. Verse 21, and it reads, "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." Then when you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 18, verse 4, it reads, "And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Now, that sounds like this is God talking, according to what they tell me. That don't sound like immigration to me. That don't sound like the melting pot of coming into the system. That sounds like a direct command to separate when you say come out of. Then moving on to the book of then moving on to the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, it reads, "No man also soweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred, but new wine must be put into new bottles." And finally, the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 34, and it reads, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Again, it's talking about the coming of the Son of Man, and any of us who have studied, any of us who read Scripture, we know that when the Son of Man comes, it's talking about at the end of the world. And that being the case, being at the end of the world, he said he's going to separate. So, again, that's why our subject is separate or die, the only solution, because we're living at the end of this world. And there's a decision that all of us have to make, which will determine whether we live or we die. And that being the case, I want to remind everyone in our listening audience and in this, that if you have a question, you can raise your hand by pressing 1 on your dial pad. And if you're in the chat room, please type in your question, and we will certainly ask it and get it answered for you. I see some hands up out there. I'm going to go to the first one I saw go up, and that's it. Area code, as soon as Blog Talk allows it to come on in, they've been asking up. That's area code 832. Who might that be?
Aziza Al-Assad, sounds like.
I believe that's Queen Aziza. Is that you, Queen?
I think that's a different Aziza.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm looking here now. Okay, I got the mics live. I got another. I'm gonna bring this other question up. Area code 813. Your mic is live.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam. Is that Student Minister James Muhammad, sir?
It is, by Allah's grace, and I wanna extend the greetings to your distinguished panelists as well as the listening audience. Brother Eddie, I want to congratulate you, as I heard the news, brother, that you are in the process of completing your faith.
You mean
yes, sir. I heard you got married, brother.
Sir, I did. That other 50%. Yes, sir. Thank you, brother.
Hey, come on, brother. You know. Well, congratulations, brother. Congratulations. Maybe I should not have been so vague. But congratulations, dear brother. May Allah continue to bless you and your family.
Yes, sir. All praise due to Allah and the best family, the believing family. So I'm a happy, happy man right now.
Yes, sir. All praise due to Allah. I agree 1,000%, Brother Eddie, with your response to the question. And how our people are looking through the lens, unfortunately, of ignorance of the difference, the natural and innate differences of both people. I would strongly suggest that everyone go to NOI.org when time permits them to do so and look at the minister's latest installment of The Time and What Must Be Done, dealing with part two of Why God Made Devil and Why, or and how, rather. So, wonderful response, dear brother. You know, when we hear Brother Kareem, Brother Eddie, when we hear our people pose solutions, and I heard you lamenting the the regular and patent response of our people when they rally on these under these conditions as a result of some egregious acts that we have suffered at the hand of white people. But if you listen to our people when they pose solutions, all of it, if not most of it, I would say, is laced with a hope that white people are going to change.
Come on.
Is laced with an acceptance of staying among the enemy no matter what. I mean, you can hear it. And the entertainment of total separation from our enemies seems to be adverse to our people. What that reveals is our thinking that we can't get along without them, or that we're creating or making or committing some kind of sin to think that we should separate from our enemies. But separation has always been the solution to problems like this if we would study both in the Bible and the Quran. We are, as a people, are familiar with the fact, I'm sure, for the most part, that when it talks about when God was speaking to Abram, at that time his name was Abram, and he shared with him a prophecy stating, "Know of a surety, Abram, that your seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall be afflicted for 400 years. Well, you know, and most know how that scripture goes. Most of us identify that scripture with us. We've been here 400 years. We've been in a strange land under strange people, suffering at the hand of those people for 400 years, so on and so forth. But what we neglect to deal with is the latter part of that prophecy that states that Moses, or one would lead the people out of the house of bondage, out of the house of slavery, out from under the taskmaster. That's something we seem not to accept. Now look at what it says in Deuteronomy, in the, I think it's the 15th chapter or the 18th chapter, the 15th verse. It reads, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me." Now, this is Moses addressing the children of Israel. "Unto him ye shall hearken." Again, in the 18th verse of that same chapter, it reads, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee." And this is God speaking. "And will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command." Well, if God is going to raise up a prophet like unto Moses, then it stands to reason that circumstances and conditions must be similar to or the same that existed and predominated when Moses was around 4,000 years ago. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. There must be a modern-day Pharaoh. There must be a modern-day Egypt. And there must be a modern-day children of Israel whom Moses will lead out of the house of bondage. This is the thing that we reject. This is the thing that we don't even consider. Now, your theme is separation or death. That's pretty harsh, either separate or die, considering that there are so many who wish to stay among the enemy. And I'm sure there are those that when they heard the theme, they were kind of unsettled and off-put because of the options, either separate from the enemy or die. But if a people are slated for destruction, and the Bible is replete with prophecy indicating that the wicked will be destroyed, both the Bible and the Quran is replete with scriptures prophesying the total destruction of the wicked. And we can find no other people more wicked than the Caucasian here in America and throughout the world. His history is written in oppression and murder and subjugation of the peoples of the world. This is an undeniable, inarguable fact. And then again, the scriptures that you recited, Brother Kareem, come out of her, my people. Here's God telling his people, not all people, but his people. He's making a distinction. Come out of her. Her who? Babylon. Well, there is no modern nation that has the name Babylon, but you can juxtapose the conditions of America next to the conditions of ancient Babylon and tell me if there's not a great, not a great similarity, that they are the same. So even as there's a modern day Moses, there's also a modern day Babylon, and God is telling us to come out of her, and he's making the distinction that he's talking to his people, not all people, but his people. So why is this so far-fetched? Why is this so, in some cases, abhorrent? Why is it so ridiculous, or why is it so unthinkable that God wants black people to separate totally from the white man? We're so afraid of being called racists in reverse, which is the silliest thing I've ever heard. Like Malcolm said, if a man comes in your house, robs you of your possessions, kills your wife and your children, and you catch him and kill him, have you now become a burglar in reverse? Have you now become a murderer in reverse?
Come on.
No, sir.
Separation or death. And since Allah has deemed that these people cannot be reformed, they must be destroyed, and in fact will be destroyed from the face of the earth. Look at what the scripture says in the Bible for all of us who read the Bible. It says, yea, the day cometh when the earth shall burn as an oven, and all those that do wicked, yea, the evil shall be as stubble. And God will leave them neither root nor branch. See, when you don't leave a person root, that means they're not coming back once you get rid of them. Because when you kill the root, they're gone.
That's it.
But God said he's going to, that there's not going to be a root or a branch of the wicked. So they're destined to be destroyed. And all of those of us who are intertwined with him, live with him, love him, sweetheart with him, and want to stay with him, if we don't separate, we will die with the wicked. And your theme then is apropos. Your theme then is absolutely on time. Your theme is absolutely correct. Separate or die. Not because we said it, but because God said it. Now the question is, do you love white people so much you want to die with them? Because they certainly would never die with you. I listened to the news today, and they're promoting this man, Zimmerman, this murderer of our children, as a hero. It's all over the news, all over the airways, how he rescued a family that was in an accident and pulled them out of their overturned SUV, and they're flashing it across the screen. Zimmerman, a hero. Can you imagine? This is to show you and I that they have absolutely no love, no sensitivity to us. How could a news station even air such thing in light of the suffering of our brother and sister who are the father and mother of our brother Trayvon Martin? How could you air such a thing? Well, if you choose to stay with them, then die with them. That's all I'm going to say right now, Brother Kareem. Thank you. May Allah bless you all. Assalamu alaikum.
You know, Brother Kareem, I think that's a mouthful. I have to haul fast right there.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Absolutely. And I see the board lighting up. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. There are some more questions out there. I'm going to get to you very, very soon. Please be patient with us because I do want to move quickly through the rest of our questions because right in line with what the beautiful, beautiful dissertation that Student Minister James Muhammad just gave us to let us know, as he just said, it's not me talking. It's not us talking. This is what God says. And that's why our theme, our topic is what it is, separate like that. And just so you can maybe get an understanding, the word separate is defined as to set or keep apart, to set aside for a special purpose, to sever an association, to go in different directions. And I would hope you would agree with all that we have suffered and are suffering, that we as a people, in order to survive, definitely need a new direction, the majority of us. The word die is defined as to pass from physical life, to pass from existence. Listen to this, to be overwhelmed by emotion. It says also in the last definition it has is to end in failure. Now, that having been said, I'm going to come back to you, Sister Veronica. You there?
Victoria.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Sorry.
All right. Now, this is our second question. And to show you how powerful this topic is, it's 8:53, and we definitely get into it. It says,
yeah, I know.
What is it that makes black people so quick to forgive everyone else and yet hate each other and hold grudges for life against one another? I mean, in your opinion, why are we like that?
I think black people for so long have been trying to fit in with the majority, that it's been easier or more acceptable to forgive all the wrongs against us, and not to mention that they haven't even been acknowledged by them, but for some reason, you know, just like the integration and, you know, desegregation, they just want to fit in so bad and be one and, you know, be a part of the majority, that it's easier to forgive the things that they've done and, you know, and not even realizing that these disparities still exist today. You know, it's easy to say that, you know, that was then, this is now, but it's still going on just in different forms and, you know, in different ways. People don't want to acknowledge that. And holding grudges against each other and ourselves, you know, it's like the Willie Lynch thing. It's like it's still perpetuating, and I don't even think we realize how much it worked.
and how important it is for us to unite as a people together, you know, because we all we got. You know, a lot of us don't even realize, you know, that they are our enemies, and we have to unite as one, as a front, and as a movement in order to make it. Yeah.
Absolutely. You're right on point. Now I'm going to come to you, Vanessa Chosen Marie, with that same question.
Brother Kareem,
go ahead.
I think for so long because what's been ingrained in our minds through religion is that we need to forgive and turn the other cheek. And a lot of us don't think in the sense that, like you said about the laws that are created. Laws were created to deal with us. And, you know, they're for certain people to uphold their rights, but when it comes to us, it's to keep us in line, and that's how I look at it. And I look at religion from the Christianity standpoint the same way. It was to keep us in line. So if I don't want you uprising against me or thinking I need you to turn the other cheek when I'm gonna knock you upside your head or I'm gonna beat you with a cat nine or whatever, I need you to forgive me for that. Yet I have no forgiveness in me for you. And a lot of us, I think, we hold each other much more accountable than we do our enemy. And I think a lot of times, like my sister said, we don't look at them as the enemy. We see ourselves as the enemy. That's what we've been told, that we are bad. We are good for nothing. We don't amount to anything. We're worth nothing. And so many of us don't look at ourselves and realize how much we really are worth. So it's easier to look at your brother who you think is nothing and hold him more accountable and responsible for his actions than the person who taught you to turn the other cheek but is steady slapping you at the same time. So in a sense, it goes back to me to that psychological breakdown that we're missing. You know that someone's beating you, but you love them so much that you ignore it. And I made a comparison the other day that America is not our mother, and she treats us like we're the stepchild. And she treats her own so much different, and we can sit and we see that, but we continue to express so much love for her. At some point, you have to look at that and say, you know what, I'm being abused. And we don't see that. And it's easy for us to look at the person sitting next to us in the same situation and turn around and say what the mother said, you know, you ain't nothing. And we hold each other to a standard that we're not willing to put those who are not like us to that same standard. And I don't, that's something I don't understand. It's how we can sit as people and go through the things that we go through, see what should be obvious right in front of our eyes, and accept it so much that we don't question them. How dare you question them? And I think that is, it attests to the mental state that you don't, it's like our parents, I don't know, we grew up old school. You didn't question in the household. You were told something, you just did what you were told, and that was it. And I think that that's the mentality that some of us still are living under is, well, they said it, that's what goes, that's what's law. And a lot of people out here saying it is what it is. I can't accept that. That's too much contentment for me. You might be able to be okay with it is what it is. I'm not okay with it. And I'm going to hold the person that I know has had more control, more responsible than I am the person who I know doesn't know any better. But a lot of us don't look at it that way. And we will criticize one another a whole lot more than we will someone that we absolutely know knows better and has not only knows better, but has had the opportunities that we haven't.
Yes, sir. I mean, pardon me. Yes, ma'am. I'm telling you at the same time, so
that's
I was saying your response on in the chat room, but yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Completely and totally. And before I get to these other questions by the callers, I have a question from, I believe it's Brother Eugenia Wilson Art. He asked this question. He says, now we must do for self. He asked the question, how can I use my God-given talents to help the youth in our community? My talent is creative art and showing how it relates to everything around us. And I want to direct that question to Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir. Well, I have a brother here in Augusta who is an excellent artist himself, and he is an excellent rapper. And these, of course, are the languages of the youth, you know, art, hip-hop. Whatever the message is, the message, you know, we all have different ways of expressing that message. But the best way to help them is to give them the message of unity, the message of self-reliance, the message of independence, the knowledge of self. Give it in the language of art. If that is your gift and your talent that Allah gave you, that is in line with your spirit, then use it to tell the story, to give the message, to teach the lesson. We all have talents, and each talent may be different from another, but no talent is more and no talent is less. But it is for each of us to discover that talent. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that whatever it is in life that we are good at and we are joined and enjoy doing, then most likely that is what we were created to do. Minister Nuri Muhammad gave a lecture last Sunday, and he said that, you know, Allah does not create basketball players and football players and track runners in the womb. He creates God. And if that is your God's language, the language of art, and whatever your art is, then use it. I think it was, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was Mao Zedong who used art to cause the Chinese youth to revolt. And I can't remember what year that was. But he was a great revolutionary. And he was an artist. So if you want to invoke revolution, the spirit in the youth where you are from, then use your art to translate the message that we are teaching into a language that you know best. And Allah will back you, because in doing that which you are created to do, then the spirit of Him will flow right through you into your art. And that's really, really, I think it will be my best answer to that question.
All praise due to Allah. Thank you, sir. Now, area code 832, your mic is live.
Brother, I'm from like a family. And Ramadan Mubarak to everyone.
Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan Kareem.
I'm so late, and I'm so sorry, and I was really just listening, Brother Kareem, and since I was calling in, which I don't usually do, I pressed one. I really didn't have a question, just wanted to listen to the show. But also, I wanted to let everybody know that I am fine, and I'm so sorry to alarm everybody, but I'm here, I'm alive, I'm well, My daughter got through her surgery fine. I'm sorry for being out of touch the last 3 days. Everybody's been looking for me. I love and appreciate you all so, so very much. Thank you for your love and concern. But Queen Aziza is fine. I'm no longer MIA as I heard I was. So all praise is due to Allah, Brother Kareem. Wonderful show.
All praise due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Now we're complete because the queen is here. Okay. Y'all know that. All right. I'm going to take another question.
Carry on, Brother Kareem. I'm just now getting in, so I'm enjoying Brother Eddie and Sister Victoria and my Sister Vanessa, and I heard Brother James teaching hard over there, so I'm just, hey, y'all don't need me. I'm just sitting back in the wings. All praises due to Allah. I'm going to be a fan tonight.
Praise be to Allah. Well, we're glad to have you here at home. You know you're at home. All right, so I'm going to take one more question, and then we're going to get back to our questions. Area code 773, your mic is live. Area code 773.
Brother, am I heard? Can anyone hear me?
Come on.
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir.
I can be heard.
Yes, sir. The area code 773.
Okay, I'm not 713. I'm 832. I'm 832. I just want you to know I'm here, and I do have a question.
Oh, go right ahead, bro.
No, go ahead and try to make contact with the sister, and I sit back and I wait.
No. I mean, whoever it is that said 773, they're not responding.
Someone
else. Go right ahead, quick.
773
yes,
is responding now, sir.
Sir?
Pardon me?
Yeah, actually, both brothers have responded, so I don't know who.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay. You said both brothers. Okay. All right. Brother in area code 773, you can go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes,
sir.
Yes, you know, I want to make a statement. You know, I was looking on YouTube, and what is a crying shame is, you know, these old neo-colonialist Negroes like Jesse Lee Peterson and Larry Elders and other Negroes that's in this bandwagon have the nerve to put our people down, especially Trayvon Martin, labeling him as a thug. Where it's a doggone shame. You know, this is a prime example of Uncle Tom Negroes, like him, Larry Elder, and others. It is a crying shame today, but they are going to want. They are the ones that's going to die right along with the enemy.
Yes, sir.
I'm like, go.
Say it again, Brother Danny. Say it again. That's right. All right. You have to bear with me. I'm working this board fast as I can. All right, now, Brother, area code 832. I think the suffix is 7683. You had a statement or question? All right. All right. Okay, well, we're going to roll right on through. And now I'm going to start with you this time, Brother Eddie, on this one, even though you just answered a question out of the chat room. This is our third question for the night. And what it is, and I'm going to go right around the panel, what good does marching, singing, praying, not that we shouldn't pray now, we should pray, but still, what good does marching, singing, praying, and speech making do? When you got an enemy, because that's all I can call these individuals, you got an enemy that will just, they'll shoot you while you're praying, they'll shoot you while you're making a speech. I mean, so what good does any of this do? You said you were at one of the many vigils. I think I saw on the news. I was working that day myself. But I saw where it said that there were 100 vigils throughout the country. And after all this was said and done, I mean, what good does it do when we have these vigils and we are so upset at the moment? But then we go back home to wherever it is we live and we do nothing to change the conditions under which we live. We do nothing to set up some type of security so devils, I'm going to say it just like that, devils like George Zimmerman don't have the opportunity to assassinate our youth. Now, what good does it do, Brother Eddie?
Yes, sir. Well, rallying, I don't feel rallying is a problem in itself because it's a means of communication. But it is the message that is delivered during that time or during that event that determines the substance and relevance of that action. In 1995, we, in a sense, 2 million black men stood, marched, and rallied. But what made it an appropriate, effective, and relevant march was the message that was the theme and the purpose of that march. The reason our marches and our rallies have the token of being irrelevant is because the message that we repeat over and over again is the same ineffective message that we have been using, that found Jewish synagogue of Satan founders of the NAACP, that same message that they had in their hearts in establishing the NAACP, which was, as they said, non-economic liberalism. It is okay if you march to share toilets with your slave children. It is okay to march and die to share a fountain. It is okay to march and die to be a part of their schools. It is okay to march and die to share a table at a diner. It's okay to march and die to be able to marry on to their men and women. It's okay to march and die to be able to go in their retail stores and go through the front door instead of the back. It's okay to be able to go and fight and die with them in the foreign battlefield for a people that never did anything to black people, to fight for a flag that is stained with the blood of our mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and babies. That is okay. But what we will not do is support the black man and woman in creating economics for yourself. After 1867, in the 10 years of Reconstruction, we built 60 towns, independent, sovereign black towns, and they came and destroyed them. So we don't want no black independence. We don't want no black economics, but we will fight and seem to be your friend as long as we are fighting for us to have access to your economics. And that is the same message. So we have been trained into that because the only way our marches and our rallies and our protests are publicized is if we are fighting to get that same access. Yeah, we gained a toilet, we gained a fountain, or we gained a front door, but we lost control of $1.1 trillion of spending power of black people after they've taken out taxes. We lost access to that, so we lost our ability to fund our own schools. We lost the power to fund our own justice system, fund our own education, fund our own farmland, fund everything that we need to be an independent, sovereign, and known as a living people. So marching and rallying, that's good, but our message is the same old slave message. And see, the greatest thing an enemy can do is make you think that what you are doing for freedom is, and he actually has a hold on that which you're fighting for. Yeah, run to the north, but my brother is up north. We run from the south and run to New York, but the cracker that's in the south is the same cracker that's in the north. The same mind that's in the south is the same mind that's in the north. And what is even worse is that as the Bible says, we are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. So as the brother was speaking about those who sell our people out, the Charles Barkleys and those like him who were taught and teach on the side of this enemy, have taken on the mind. So Paul said, we have to now war with the mind. Because now it is us who have given wholeheartedly to the mind of the slave master children. Now that color has been almost lost as the boundary, and now it is, what do you fight for? Freedom, justice, and equality? Or do you fight for slavery, suffering, and death? Which side of the blackboard are you on? As those in the nation remember the blackboard that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had put up. So that's the issue with marching and protesting and praying. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that it is more important to teach my people separation than prayer. Why is that? Not that we must not pray and give homage to the Most High, but the question is, what are you praying for? Would you pray to a God that brought separation for the children of Israel to unite you into his enemies? Would you pray to the for the God that taught, get out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and her plagues, for you to unite into that which he has sought and prophesied to destroy over for 6,000 years? Would you pray for the absolute opposite of the will of God? Or would you pray and go to work for that which the scriptures prove is his work, which is separation? Because if you do choose not separation to do for self, then that means you will be destroyed. That means you do get death, because death is what is promised for this world. Read the book of John chapter 17 verses 6 through 9, where he talks to Jesus and saying that a specific people out of them in the world were chosen to recognize him and his teaching as that of God. Not the whole world, but a specific people out of the world, those who would accept that Jesus. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the Jesus and now the exalted Christ, and now among us is another Jesus, Minister Farrakhan. And unless we recognize him, then we will not be let out of this world, because he is the only one, the only author, warner, divine, leader, teacher, and God, who is the voice of God in a time when Satan is to be sat down. There are no more prophets. We're living in the day of fulfillment. Fulfillment, excuse me. And unless we get behind that man, that word, and that mission, then the Quran and Allah will do as the Quran says, I'll find another people. See, I chose you not because we're black, but because we fit the description that he needed for people. But as one brother says, speaking from the Rashi of Mas Maryam, he said, it is not a question of whether the black man will be set free. It is a question, will us as individuals be a part of it? Because God is not mocked. And for him to be not mocked, then that means what his word is absolute. So I'd rather be part of that number when the saints go marching in. All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, sir. All praises are due to Allah. All right, I'm going to take, before I get to the other panelists, with this same question, I'm going to take a question from the phone. Area code 901, your mic is live.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Okay, personally, me, myself, I'm real tired of boycotting. I'm tired of talking about let's rally. I'm tired of talking about let's get together, do this. When are we going to get together? We got billionaires among us. When are we going to get together? Spend our money, buy our own sovereign land, buy our own sovereign state, go on and get the land. America is selling it wholesale. Give it, go get it. What are we waiting on? Go get it. So we need to go ahead, band together, put our money together, go buy the land wholesale, like the Jews go and do. They go and buy wholesale. They put their money together. They band together. They come together. We the only ones in this world, America, black people in America, that don't unify. When are we going to unify? I'm tired of boycotting. I'm tired of asking for it. Matter of fact, we was already punished for 45 years because we didn't get together when he first came and gave us the teachings. Now, here it is, 40-some-odd years later, and we still talking about, let's unite. Let's go for justice. Let's do for self. When are we gonna do it? Stop talking about it and be about it. So I want to ask the panel.
Peace.
I want to ask this: when and how are we gonna unify? I'm tired of these homegrown old Negroes with this homegrown old man saying a homegrown old situation and solution. When are we gonna come with the right solution and go ahead and get our own? When?
That's right. Teach.
I'm done. Oh, this is for Jamie. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, man. And who was that fireball that was just that was on there? Who was that?
It's Sister Jeremy, a.k.a. Diet from McClarity. I'm from Assalamu alaikum, my family.
Well, yes, ma'am. Praise
So go ahead and answer that, and may Allah continue to bless you all. But please, answer that question, because I'm real tired of asking you, everybody to unify. We didn't done enough marching. Let's get up and let's do for ourselves. Praise be to Allah.
Okay, Sister Diatoma was asking, instead of all the marching that we've done and that we do, and since we have this teaching, we have the information, we have a plan and a way to become independent, when are we going to stop talking about it? When are we going to stop marching? When are we going to do it?
Shoot, I want to know, too. I think we need to...
All right.
See, because me, like, I can only speak for me. I would love to get in on a plan to do that. We need to get that kind of message out to the masses, you know, and get more people out there to want to do the same thing. So many people are stuck in this same situation, trying to, you know, do the same old march and the same protest, and you know, we need to get it out there to them, like. Okay, quit begging your slave master, you know, to let you be free in his world. Let's just go and make our own, you know. I think the main thing is opening the eyes of everyone, all the people. It's so many people that's blind to it and may be blind on purpose, may not want to see, but it's getting it out to the masses. That's the issue.
Yes, ma'am. All praise be to Allah. Thank you. That's absolutely on point. And I see Queen Aziza, you wanted to make a comment?
I'm from Lemonade. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. I couldn't help but respond to my dear sister's question because I'm feeling all her pain and all that energy that she's expressing. But I want her in particularly and people in general to realize the answer to her question. And when she says, when are we going to get together? When are we going to come together? One of the things that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us is that we have to get with like minds. And I think me and my sister had this conversation. Just because we're all black don't mean that our realities are the same. And until mm-hmm. our realities become identical to one another, till we all recognize the need, till we all recognize the enemy, till we all see that our people as a whole are in a very, very deplorable state as a people, it is at that time when those like minds, when those eyes are open, that we will all come together. But when we're talking about us all, we're not talking about all black people.
Mm-hmm.
Because all black people are not the people of Allah, are not the people of God. You have devils mm-hmm. that are blacker than 14 midnight. So it's all about your mind. It's all about your heart. It's all about your desire. So just because we black don't mean that we all need to be together. I don't want to live next door to the black fool, to the black racist, to the black killer. I don't want to live next door to him. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that we need to get with like minds. That's what we need to seek. Instead of looking to everybody to unite, we need to get with the people who we have something in common with, and we have to be proactive and be pioneers ourselves. You know, we can't wait to
somebody else starts a movement. If you want to move, start a movement. Get with someone who shares your idea. Get with someone who has your passion. Get with someone who is as motivated and driven as you are and start to build. Because that's what makes things move, not someone with an idea, but an idea brought into fruition. And I just want to put that out there. Thank you, Brother Kareem.
Oh, praise you. Yes, ma'am.
May I step into this?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we thank Allah for coming in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and we thank him for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the last and greatest messenger of Allah, and we thank Allah for the Messenger of the Covenant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I greet all of my brothers and sisters in the room with the greeting words of peace of As-salamu alaykum. I was listening to, and I just called in. Someone called me and said you all was talking about a particular, you know, some subjects, and they that was my purpose for calling in. I also want to say, Minister James Muhammad, thank you so much. You are a beautiful brother with a beautiful spirit. I thank you so much. And
all praise is due to Allah, brother.
You add so much substance to my life. And Aziza, I know I had not been in contact with you. I've been quite busy and on the road. I'm traveling right now. And I want to say I'll be getting in contact with you and giving you this private number. And Brother Kareem, thank you for hosting tonight. May Allah bless you and guide you in this endeavor. I was listening to a quote from the scripture, and I would like for you to come back and quote that again concerning the Son of Man, that before him would be gathered all the nations, and he would divide that. If you could quote that, I like to go from there. I like to use that to spring from.
Yes,
if you can quote that, I do appreciate that.
Yes, sir. That is in Matthew 25, and it is verses 31 through 34, and it reads, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world."
Thank you so much for that, brother.
Yes.
That, in listening to that, I saw a political application to that particular scripture, and I saw that this is a son, and I'm not going to say who that son may be, but I think that we all have an idea. But that sounds like the son, and there's only one place that I know that all nations are gathered, and this is why I say it sounds like a political prophecy. It relates to something political. We have guided the spiritual teachings, and the minister is doing a wonderful job doing this in 52 weeks to update us in our understanding of what the message that was delivered by the Messenger of Allah was trying to deliver to us even then. And we are quite some time away from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's departure, and we're still in the situation and conditions that we're in. I don't believe protesting is a solution to our problem. I think it's quite passive, unless that is a plan that is not spoken, And at this stage of our development, and I think that there are quite a number of us who are have developed in our knowledge and our understanding where the action that we take, we don't have to necessarily reveal what the next step is. I think that this protest is going to be directed in a way that is ultimately going to free us indeed in this particular century. The nation, the United Nations of Islam, pardon me, the United Nations of Islam, the United Nations, most of us are into the spiritual. I've learned and studied the teachings, and I'm still a student and learning, and I've been doing this for over 30 years or more. And now I see that we have to step now with that guidance into the political arena where indeed we can obtain everything that we say that we want. If we would look back at the history of the Caucasian Jews and how they obtained Palestine, they put together, they were very religious. They had their religious scholars and teachers among them. But what they did is, and I'm driving, don't have the exact dates in the material before me. There was among them those who were politically astute to the process of the workings of the United Nations. And they put together a biblical argument to the international community in a political way to obtain a piece of Palestine under Resolution 181. Spiritually speaking, we cannot go into a political arena and obtain anything of real substance with just a spiritual trying to appeal spiritually to the international community because they have laws that govern their actions. And there's three steps that we take, and they took. They put their argument in a political way before the community. It was a biblical argument, but it had political substance to it. They put their argument before the General Assembly. Now, the General Assembly is where the international community listens, but they cannot do anything, cannot vote on action. After that process, they then went over to the Security Council. And I don't have my material before me. I'm driving through and trying to watch the road and get this out. It went over to the Security Council where there's five permanent members. The Security Council is a
excuse
council.
Excuse me, brother. One moment, brother. Please. One moment. I appreciate what you're bringing to us and what you're offering to us. However, we got a very limited amount of time. And if that's a subject that you want to get to,
I will shorten it in about two minutes, if you will.
Go right ahead, bro.
When they went to the Security Council and got a vote of action, the land was taken. We now have got at least recognition in the United Nations and a global identity of Afro descendants for all victims of the transatlantic slave trade. Google it. That's the first step to obtaining human rights and bringing a nation that has wronged you before the international community. So now that's where I think that we should be moving towards, because talking
I think it's over. It should be over. For I'm actually tired of talking. We need to actually move on this. And I know it's the white man's corporate law, international corporate law that he did, done with the entire world and all the nation, making them a party to it, which gives them the right to go into their countries. But that's the step that we need to do. We need to turn our focus in that direction. And once we get, once that son get in that direction, there will be a division where he will be able to separate the international community, because the international community knows that America is not right and have not done right by the world, nor his subjects, which are us. So this is what we need to now be educating ourselves on. I think, in my mind, this is the best solution at this point, and that's what I see in that scripture, is a political application. I don't believe that some God or the Son is going to be able to speak spiritual stuff to the international community and obtain some land for us, where we can build a house, come into the house of the kingdom of
okay,
my Father.
Okay, brother, you need
I don't believe
brother,
they're
going
to do that.
I don't mean to cut you off, but you need to wrap it up, brother. You need to, please,
okay.
Because
you.
If I can say again, it's all praise is due to Allah. Thank you. And I want to thank the brother for what he offered to us, and I want to say this concerning that. The teachings and the program of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, let's be clear. Let's be very clear. When we say spiritual, we're not talking about spooky. There is a difference. See, spooky is something that has no basis in reality. The teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad on all levels, including the spiritual, have practical application. We have been given in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and now being reiterated and dissected and given to us in such form that even a baby could understand by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We have in those teachings the exact plan on how to achieve what we need. I will refer back to just one of the speeches that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave concerning that application. When Allah gave Musa or Moses the command to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go, he didn't go trying to ask anybody. He didn't tell Moses to go to the other nations and get their approval. He said, go to Pharaoh and tell them, I said, let my people go. And if we, as students of Scripture, I'm going to just say that, will study the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and then apply those teachings in our everyday life. See, spiritual don't mean spooky. Spiritual simply means up into the thinking and mind of Almighty God Allah. That's the spiritual. It's in the thinking. And then once we're thinking correctly, once we're practicing this 100%, then we can move forward, pooling our resources, following the exact dictates that the messenger of Almighty God, a messenger of Allah gave us. The exalted Christ gave us. We can apply that in our everyday life, then we can come together, unite, and do what we need to do. We can present anything we want to the international community. But as long as they are ruled by the powers of this world, we're spitting in the wind. Again, that's marching, singing, dancing, if you will. Now, I'm going to leave that where it's at. All praise is due to Allah, and I'm going to get to our fourth question because our time is running short. And I'm going to address this question to you, Sister Chosen. Are you there?
Yes, Father Kareem, I'm here.
All praise is due to Allah. And this question is this, and it kind of goes along with what we just received. Can integration into mainstream America, or the mainstream world as it is, work for us as a people today?
Well, I might answer the question by asking a question first. Has it worked yet?
Come on, now talk.
And I don't think that it's worked yet. I think the worst thing that ever happened to black people in America was desegregation. As Brother Eddie said earlier, we had communities that were progressive. They were growing. They were building. A lot of them were thriving economically. We had our own education system. We had our own stores, our own businesses. We had our own communities. And somewhere around the 1920s, all of them, it seems, were being destroyed. And right around that time, here comes desegregation. I think that's the worst thing that could have ever happened to us, because at that moment, we were no longer unified towards an economical course. And as long as we are not in control of our economics, we're not in control of our destination. We're not in control of the system that we need for us. We're under their system. And as long as we remain under their system, there is no control. So it'll never work for us. It hasn't worked yet. And like he said before, all we can sing, we can march, we can hoopla the emotional response that they expect to get from us. But when all of that is said and done, what do we have left? There, I was reading something the other day where there used to be about 54 African American banks in the United States. Now there's about 23. I know here in Texas, I was looking for one because I said, I'm moving my money. If I can't get it somewhere where it's being progressive for, I said, my money, I don't care how inconvenient it becomes. But see, these are personal decisions that we have to start making. I said, my money is being moved, because no way in the world am I going to keep funneling a system that works against me. It works against me. It works against my children. You don't want them educated. You'd rather have them institutionalized. You want me to continue to work for you. I can't come to your bank and say, hey, I want to open a business. This is my plan. And sit there and you tell me you will fund me, but somebody white can walk in off the street, barely have a plan. You'll help them put one together and give them the money you wouldn't give me. So to me, their system doesn't work, and we can remain in their system, and guess what we're going to continue to see the last 400 years? Nothing about that is ever going to change, because their system does not work for us to get on top. Their system works for us to stay on the bottom. And until we do something different, like moving our money, stop buying into their businesses, because every business that they have is geared towards their political system too, and their political system works against us. And until we recognize that and start doing something different, we're funding them to work against us. And it's not going to work. I don't see it working.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. All right, I'm going to direct that question to you, Sister Veronica. What do you think?
Yes, I'm with my sister. Has it worked yet? I feel like I feel like integration is when we became helpless and we became dependent. And as long as we depend on them to care for us, apply for us, we're going to be helpless and dependent on them. And we're going to keep on begging them to free us, to treat us equal, treat us as we're one of them. We're going to keep on, but we did much better, you know, as our own, having our own communities and spending money within our community and building up our own communities. But as long as we depend on them, we're going to be just that dependent. So, no, it doesn't work, hasn't worked. It'll never work.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All praise is due to Allah. And my brother, Brother Eddie.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right, I don't, if you want to weigh in on that question, you can. However, I believe I possibly know your answer. I have a different question for you, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
All right. My question to you, my brother, is this. If we don't separate, what is going to happen?
Exactly what has been prophesied, that we would go down with the nation God has promised he would destroy. If we do not separate and do what the scriptural children of Israel would do, which is a sign of us, then we will simply do as the elders did. They doubted God. God said, go in there and take the land. And they said, well, there's some giants in the land, and we ain't going, as Minister Farrakhan humorously put in 1995, Day of Atonement, well, we ain't going in there until you clean them giants out. And God said, but I'm going with you. I'm telling you, I'm going to back you up, the Lord of the world. And those elders said, well, even so, we ain't going. And that is what we have done. God has said he is with us. The Lord of the world, the one whom nothing and no one can overcome, has said that he would back us into establishing something for ourselves, but we won't go. So he said to them, I will let you wander and die out in the wilderness, and I will take your children, and they will inhabit the promised land. So all these old in spirit, scared to death the Negroes, as Brother put it, who are afraid to go out and establish an identity and a nation for ourselves, you will die out with your open enemy. But your children, the youth, those young, not just in age, but those young of mind who have been renewed by the new teaching, will inherit that kingdom, and you will be left behind and forgotten. You know, and I want to say, in response to Sister Diatoma, there was a scripture that she brought to mind that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us the meaning of. And that is in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verse 9. Or rather, I will start from verse 8. And it says, When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon the bone, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath, there was no life in those bones. Then he said unto me, Son of man, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thou saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. The four winds, he teaches us, is he is going to loose Satan, because the bones have done, it has been like Jesus said, I've piped to you all the day long and you shall not dance. Prophesied to the bones, and the bones shook a little, but there was no life in them. So I'm going to let loose this enemy. Since you don't believe he is your enemy, since you believe he is your friend and you refuse to stand up for yourself, well, I will give you what you want. I will let loose the winds on you. And as they are planning in Chicago to arrest and imprison 18,000 black men, as cities all across America are gearing and arming their police forces, as they are the forces of the Marines and the Army. As here in my city of Augusta, the city of Richmond, Augusta, Richmond County, spent thousands of dollars in arming the Sheriff's Department with riot protection gear. That means automatic weapons and shields. And they are built these super highways that they can close off cities, these highways built to support the weight of tanks and personnel carriers. These are the things that they are gearing for, because they will be let loose. God will let you know that this is your enemy. And if you still want to die with him, then go ahead, because he will let him live out his nature. And that is what's coming. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that race war is coming, and that will happen. We got a taste of this when our people rioted and protested and filled San Francisco Bridge and cities across America in protest from the anger of seeing Zimmerman go free and no justice being done. There will come a separation, whether we like it or not. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talked about revolution in his speech, and I
cannot remember for the life of me what that speech is, but he talked about birth and how birth is represented of revolution, how there was great pain to the mother, and there was a breaking of water and a show of blood. Water means the people will break out, and blood means bloodshed. For as life comes into the world, so shall the birth of a new nation. There will be great pain. There will be labor. There will be breaking of water. There will be bloodshed, great fainting, great heat, great suffering to bring about a new life. So if we think we're going to walk into that kingdom tipping across the water and filing a few motions in Congress, that is not going to happen. Because as the Holy Quran says, there are signs in the creation for those who are wise. There are signs in this for those who understand. There are signs in this for those who believe. So those who would believe, then for us, we see what's going to happen, and we are gearing up under the leadership of that man, that one whom we would believe, to prepare for that. We don't, you know, the sister asked when? Not long. Those of us who are following that man are already doing the work. But soon, as this enemy and these winds unleash their fury, then all of them will come running, because there will be absolutely no home. There will be no rest in this enemy. Allah has to remove him from our minds as being a god beside him and being our friend. And once we let him go, which will be done, then you will see the masses and scores of us coming to the Honorable Elijah, to teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I know we only have a few minutes left, but I also wanted to address that question. And to the brother, if I can, 30 more seconds, to the brother who was talking about, you know, the United Nations and all of that, I agree with Brother Kareem 100%. You know, often we dismiss spirituality because we don't understand spirit. But remember this, I was studying the book by Dr. Wesley Muhammad, who is a great scholar and is on the Nation of Islam Research Department. And he said in his book, The Truth of God, he researched how in our society, in the teachings of the original people of the earth, all of them, except for the Caucasian, we always taught that even the word spirit meant material. So when we are talking about spiritual, which is really the word that we use to represent a connection with God, God did not just give us a spiritual plan, though we call it spiritual because of it connect something deeper in us than just physical. But everything he gave us is a mathematical plan for reality. Everything that we read in scripture is about a reality that's coming. So it is not spiritual. The plan of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad comes right up out of the Holy Quran and the Bible. Though we may use the word spiritual, our lack of understanding makes us dismiss it, because it is not natural for us to look for a real, live, and living solution. So the brother was not wrong, but his misunderstanding of what spiritual is and of the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that makes us think that we still have to rely on the enemy's processes, the enemy's institutions to make things happen. No, Allah came to completely remove us from that, because if he came to give us way and method to get freedom through the Caucasian system, then why did God come at all? Why would he say, behold, I make all things new? Well, the only way to freedom is to rely and use the methods from them. I would certainly, brother, I would encourage you to go back and study. But that's where I will close.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. All right, I'm going to take one more question, because we're down to our last 7 minutes.
What if he thought was going to come?
You call 323. It's live.
Going up, and this guy's going over here, and that guy's going. Was none of that. It was a misunderstanding. Not the scripture. See, the scripture ain't never been wrong. It's man's interpretation and understanding of the scripture that's been wrong. So that's where people make the mistake. They end up disbelieving in God, and they end up disbelieving.
Okay. I guess we're not. All right. Now, this question is for the entire panel. I'm going to start with you, Sister Chosen. How do we begin, those of us who are like minds, very quickly, how do we begin this process of separation? Just real briefly.
Brother Kareem, I was taking the phone off mute. I missed part of the question.
Yes, ma'am. The question is, very simply, how do those of us who are of like mind, how do we begin this process of separation?
You know, brother, and I'm glad you asked that. I think that by now we should recognize those who are not like-minded and plain and simple, cut them off. What is the point? Really, what is the point in continuing to try to walk and get people who are not willing to understand to come the way that you're going? Because if they were of like mind, they would have understood by now. And I think it's time that we really start cutting some people off and going with what we know. I know the people on this phone are of like mind. So I have no problem walking with y'all. I have a problem walking with the people who I know you are part of the problem. And I don't have time to keep dwelling in the problem with you. We are past problem. We are on solution. So it's time to just plain and simple start cutting people off. We already know that everybody, like Sister said, everybody ain't going. This is not for everybody. Not all black folks are going to be there. And I'm sorry if you don't make it, but you ain't going to hold me back, because I'm sorry. I don't want to die with you and the enemy. Y'all going to do what y'all do. I'm trying to be over here. So it's time to cut them off. It really is.
Yes, ma'am. All praise is due to Allah. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your response. And Sister Veronica.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. And you just keep on calling me Veronica. My name is Victoria. I'm used to it, but you know, you keep.
I knew she was gonna get you.
Okay, all right, that's no problem. Okay,
but
so
yeah,
forgive me.
That's okay. I just had to, because you was gonna keep on calling me that, so I just had to go ahead and let you know.
It's been a long. Long 53 years, please forgive me.
That's okay. But could you repeat that question for me, though?
Ma'am, very simply, those of us who are black men, how do we begin to separate? You know, how do we begin this process of separation?
Just as my sister said, you know, the ones who are of like minds, you know, we have to, birds of a feather flock together. We have to deal with those who we know are on the same page and realize that we can't get everybody on the same page with us. You know, you can try your best to, you know, try to change everybody's mind, but, you know, you just can't. You know, there are some that want to know the truth and, you know, where we come from and where we headed and where we need to be headed, you know, you can teach those, but for the people who just don't want to hear it and who just, you know, want to stay in a situation that they're in, you know, you just have to let them just go. And eventually, hopefully they come around. You know, maybe you sowed a seed, maybe not, but I think you just have to stick with like-minded people and try to just push forward, you know. Sow seeds where you can. You know, you may put a little bug in somebody's ear. Maybe they don't want to hear it. You don't have to, you know, try to persuade everyone, but, you know, just sow seeds, and hopefully they come around in their own time. But for the most part, we just have to do what we can individually and, you know, as for my family, you know, we will serve the Lord and we will do what he says to do.
Yes,
to the best, you know, the best of our abilities anyway.
Yes, ma'am. And thank you so much, Sister Victoria.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes. No.
All praise is due to Allah. We're down to we're to the last minute of the show, and I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to thank everyone who shared their thoughts and their feelings. I want to thank my distinguished panelists, Sister Victoria Miller, Brother Eddie X, Sister Vanessa Chosen Marie. I want to thank Muhammad for his contribution. Like I said, everybody who participated. I want to thank everyone in the chat room who joined with us. I hope and pray that something that we have shared with you has been of benefit to you. We have to remember the thought is the act is the fact. We either participate or dissipate. I want to leave you as we came with the greeting words of peace and paradise. We say it in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum. Also, I don't necessarily have the lineup for the rest of the week. I apologize for that. However, please tune in to Nation Building Network every day of the week, and we have something for you that will educate you, edify you, and connect you, definitely connect you with the God who has the answer. Thank you all again. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Something like that.